want to first of all say good morning. It is certainly good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. Certainly thankful to see each and every one that's come out to be with us this morning. Certainly thankful for the good piano playing and the good song selection. I'm really thankful for that last song we sung, "Oh, What a Savior." You know, I really like that last verse, you know. Death's chilling waters, one of these days I'll soon be crossing, you know. It's appointed unto man once to die. We don't know when that is, but that is also why Paul told us today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time, you know. I know I've been saying this for the last couple weeks, it seems like now, but it just keeps ringing in the back of my head and in my heart. You know, death is upon each and every one of us, and it's going to come to each and every one. And, you know, we don't know when that is. We don't know what tomorrow has in store. We don't even know what the rest of the day has in store. All we have to us right now is this exact moment. So, church, I urge you this morning that we would follow God and that we would do our very best to lift up the name of Jesus before a lost and dying world, so that way they can see Him. They can look upon Him. Just as Moses lifted up that serpent there in the wilderness, Jesus said, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You know, that's our whole duty and obligation as God's people this morning. And so that's all I ask. And if you're lost and undone and God has let you know and troubled your heart, you know, I don't beg anybody to, I try not to beg anybody to do anything. But what I do beg is that if God has knocked on your heart and has let you know where you stand with Him, that you would seek Him for soul salvation before it's too late. That is the most important thing this morning. So anyways, I guess I'll be done with my preliminary comments, but I'm just thankful to be back in the house of God once more today. We're going to go to the Lord in a word of prayer here in a few moments of time. I wonder this morning if anybody has a prayer request or a word of praise or anything they feel like needs to be said or done this morning. Amen. Amen. Certainly thankful for this. Anybody else have anything on their hearts this morning? Sister Rachel, if you don't mind, could you please get us a song? It had been requested that we had open up the doors of the church this morning. And we just asked that everybody would just follow the will of God. Friendship Missionary Baptist Church accept members by three ways. One, by water baptism. You know, I still believe in the teaching that John the Baptist gave when he had told them there, I baptize ye not, lest ye bring forth fruit meant for repentance. So, being saved by the grace of God, you can come down and tell us of that time and place where God spoke peace to your soul. And by motion and second of the church, we'll be able to take you down and to baptize you into the membership of this body. Second way is that if you are a member of a sister church of like faith and order, and you feel God has put it upon your heart to join this church, and come forward, tell us of that time and place where God saved your soul. And upon a motion and second of the church, our clerk will write to the church clerk of which you're coming from for a letter of recommendation. And the third way is by restoration. And if you've been excluded or been under the disciplinary hand of the church for some time, and you feel like you've made peace, and you've feel like that the Lord has forgiven you, and come down, and upon the motion and second of the church will be able to restore you to all rights and privileges of church membership. So, with all that being said, the doors of the church are open. Sister Rachel, if you don't mind, get us a song.
I was on
even if God didn't do anything else in this service, we can leave and say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. You know, certainly thankful for this. And I'm certainly, as what she said in her testimony, I'm glad my God is real. And I'm glad she's got that experience to tell now. So, anybody else have anything upon their hearts this morning they feel like needs to be said or done? Brother Dale? Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
Always respected Brother Mike Froge. When Brother Don Watts got saved, he didn't tell it in the service, and he went to Brother Mike's working with him and said, I think I got saved the other night. Brother Mike said, that isn't good.
That's right.
And he did this two or three times, and finally the last time Brother Don told him, said, I know I got saved. He said, Brother Mike told him, said, I thought you did too, but said, you the one got it.
Amen. Amen.
But I went ahead and joined the church, and for the first 2 years, the devil had me totally deceived, and I was one of the devil's best little church workers you ever seen. But God got a hold of me. In my heart.
Yeah.
First I went up and told them I went up for prayer, and then the devil said, well, you just tell them you got cold and you got everything fixed up and they'll leave you alone. And he was right. They did. But God continued to be merciful and to deal with me.
Yeah.
When I was 15 years old, God glorious to save my soul. No question about it. Long detailed. But it was wonderful. And I didn't have to ask nobody.
That's right.
Because he gave me something that's real. The best way I could explain it, it was like glory imploding in my soul.
Yeah.
You know, you think of something that blows up, it explodes. You take an old TV tube, it's got a vacuum in it, and you burst it, it implodes. And it was just like glory, just feel that vacuum inside my soul. It's good to be here this morning.
Amen.
There may be others that need to give God thanks and glory.
That's right.
For his salvation.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else have anything upon their hearts this morning? Anything at all. If not, there is a few things that God has placed upon my heart for this morning. And I just pray that God will just get honor and glory out of what little effort we put into it. But you know, this past week, I've actually been thinking and praying, and this thought came upon my heart about the church. And you know, when we read in the 16th chapter of Matthew, when Jesus was talking to his disciples, that is the very first time that we read and see the word church in scriptures. And when you look at the Greek translation of that word church, I believe the pronunciation is ecclesia, and that terminology that means a called out people, a called out people. And as I was trying to think about that, you would have to think called out from what? You see, we read in the first chapter of the book of John, when John was giving the introduction of Jesus Christ, he said, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God." And he said that he was talking about light and darkness, and he said, "But the darkness comprehended it not." And when we read about darkness in the Bible, a lot of times that's what it's meaning is it's sin and unrighteousness and filthy. And so you begin to think, called a people that has been called out. Called out from what? Called out from sin. You see, I believe with all my heart and all my being this morning that everybody who has ever been born and whoever will be born in this life will be born into sin. We are sinners by birth. And when we die, we die sinners. But you know the only difference that it makes in this life is if God miraculously saved you by His grace before you leave this life. And so I begin to think a called out people. You know, lots of times when we read or talk about God calling, we think about preachers. And God called preachers. And I believe that is true. And I believe in order for a man to preach, he has to be called by God to preach. But at the same time, God calls people more than just that. When God knocks upon your heart and tells you to come to Him and seek after Him, He's calling you to come to Him and repent. He's calling you to come to Him and turn it all aside. You see, we read in John chapter 10 and verse 10 when Jesus was talking to His disciples about the door, how He said, "I am the door, and if any man wishes to enter in, he must come through me." He also said in John chapter 10 and 10 that He said that He's come to give life so that people can what? Have it more abundantly. Have it more fully. You see, there's people, especially in the younger generation now, they like to use a phrase of, "Well, you need to live your best life." You know, I don't care how good of a life that you live on this earth, it will never be good. And that's just in all honesty. It will never be good. And it most certainly will not be good until God saves you. The song that we was singing when the church was coming around for the Christian handshake for Sister Mary Lou. You know, in that song it said, "At the cross I first saw the light. At the burdens of my heart, they just rolled away. And it was then by faith I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day." What's there to be happy about? Well, you see, be honest with you, folks. If you want me to be honest with you, I believe God's people should be one of the happiest people on this earth. I mean that in all honesty and sincerity. We should be the happiest people that there is. Why is that? Because we know what it's like when God convicts us of our sins and troubles us and breaks our heart. But yet when we come to Him on that day, when God saved my soul, He also put the most miraculous peace in my heart that there is. Why should I be happy? Because I know him. And he knows me. You know, I don't know if we'll get to the scripture. That's okay. I guess we'll just follow the Lord. Oh, but you know, Brother Dale, he was talking about there, about how there's people who say, well, I think I got it, you know, and I've encountered people like that all my life, all throughout school, you know. You ask them if they've been saved, and they'll say, well, I think I'm saved, or well, I might be saved. But folks, when God reaches down and touches you, you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that it was the hand of God. That's why I like when we sing the days of the week instead of singing, it must have been the hand of the Lord. It's, I know it was the hand of the Lord. So let me tell you what God did for me. There ain't a doubt in my mind. Ain't a doubt in my mind that it must have been him. You see, I was thinking, you know, God calls us to repentance. He calls us to him. What else does God call people to? See, after you've been saved by the grace of God, God calls you to be baptized. God calls you to join his church. And he calls you to put a light upon a candlestick so men might be able to see. Jesus said in the book of Luke, he said, no man, when he has a light or when he has a candle, puts it underneath a bushel, but yet in a room that's dark, puts it upon a candlestick so everybody can be able to see. I love it when somebody gets baptized. I do. Because it is a public proclamation of what God did for us, of what God did for me. It is a public representation of what God done down in here. Oh, how he dipped my soul and dipped it in his red blood and made me white as snow. He said in Isaiah chapter 1, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins may be red like scarlet, they shall be white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as snow. Folks, I've never been able to comprehend in my mind how God is able to take a soul that's as filthy and as sinful as can be and dip it in his blood and make it clean, but I'm glad he does. I'm glad he does. He calls you to put that light upon that candlestick so that everybody, your friends, your family, people you have gotten acquainted with, so they can see and they can know what God did. We see we should be a people that's not trying to hide what God gave us, but yet let God work his way out through us so he can use us to the best of our ability. We are called to, you know, we read in Matthew about Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount when he told his disciples, he said, ye are the light of the world, a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. And I'm sure I've used this expression many times. But you know, Jesus also said in John, I am the true light. And you might say, now preacher, that sort of contradicts itself. Well, I thought it did too. Oh, but it don't. Oh, it don't. You see, that light that Jesus said that he was and he is and still is today. Oh, it is our job and our duty as the lighthouse that God has set in the community and in the world to lift him up so that all men might be able to see him. That's why I like reading in Numbers so much about Moses and that brass and serpent there, because whenever they got bit by lot of mistakes in the wilderness. There had to be a cure for the sickness. And so God told Moses to make a brazen serpent so that all who looks to it can be healed. And Jesus said in the third chapter of John, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that all who are in darkness and who are in their sin, oh, they can look to Him and be saved. I'm not saying we're able to grant salvation. No, nobody has that power in this life and in this world. Oh, but God does. And let me tell you, I may not be able to give somebody the full loaf of bread. Oh, but yet, which is the bread of life that Jesus is. But you know what I can do? By my life and by my actions and by the way that I want God to use me, I can lead them a trail of breadcrumbs so that way they can have this trail to go to the one who can get, who can give them the salvation that they're longing for and looking for, so that they don't have to hunger in their soul for anything else again in this life. Jesus spoke in the 7th chapter of Matthew about two foundations. And one foundation was that rock. And another foundation was the sand. And the sand represents the world. And he said, a man, when he builds a sand, when he builds his house upon a sand, when the storm comes, he'll just knock it over. A man that has built his house upon a rock, when the storm blows and comes, it won't do anything. It won't be blown over. Why? Because the foundation was upon that rock. See, I believe this morning, oh, when we get saved by the grace of God, when God saves us by His grace, oh, He then sets our feet upon a rock, and that is Jesus Christ. Do we not read about that in the book of Psalms when the psalmist said that now he was in a miry clay, that sinking clay. Oh, but yet when God came on the scene, God picked him up out of that, and he set his feet upon a rock, and it established his goings, you know. He set his feet upon that rock. Folks, tonight, this morning, is your feet, is your foundation exactly where it needs to be? Is it upon the things, is it upon the things and the materials and the affections of the world, or are you standing upon the solid rock, which is Jesus Christ this morning? You see, I was thinking this past last night, when you talk about that foundation, when it comes to building a house, you get that foundation in. That's the most important thing. You need to get that foundation in. Oh, but then you have to start building on after that. Saved individual, church, we need to be careful and watch what we're building on top of our foundation. What we're building on top of our foundation, what we're allowing the world to come into, what we're allowing to hinder us from the walk of God. You see, we read in 1 Corinthians in the 3rd chapter that Paul was speaking about the church, and he said that there's no other foundation that a man can lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You see, I believe with all my heart this morning that the foundation of the church, it needs to be based upon Jesus Christ. I believe this morning, as with Colossians 1:8 tells me, that the head of the church and the one who we follow all the time, the head of the church, it needs to be Jesus Christ and not anybody else. See, the way I see it is that this is God's church. Yeah, this is Friendship Church, a local visible body of baptized believers. This is Friendship Church. Oh, but when the rubber meets the road, God rules the church. That's how it needs to be. God rules the church, not the pastor, not the deacon. Oh, but God does. And I'll tell you this, I know we've got business meeting after service. If there's anything that comes upon in our business meeting that we're worried that people might have too many different opinions on, or something that can cause the church to split, and let me tell you what, that's not in my heart's desire that the church would split, but that the church should come together and in unity. And you know, there might be things to come up. Folks, instead of continuing on, what we need to do is we need to take a break and we need to pray and ask the one who has rule over us what is best for his people. What is best? You see, now we can go on. I know I'm going everywhere. Oh, but just bear with me. You know, it breaks my heart lots of times. You know, remember when I was out preaching on appointments several years ago, it would break my heart. Church, they would have a pastor to step down and leave. And the next thing you know, oh, people would want to come and want to try to take roll of the church. You know, that's not how it needs to be. You know, we don't need to go by off what we want. You know, we talked about in Sunday school a few weeks ago, when it comes to a pastor or a revival help or anything of that nature, it doesn't matter how loud that preacher gets when he's preaching. It doesn't matter how silent he is. It doesn't matter about the way he looks. But what matters is that the one that God wants? You know, and that doesn't not only need to be the thing when it comes to the pastor or when it comes to the revival helper. Oh, but that needs to come in every direction and everything that pops up, whether it be in church business meeting or in our day-to-day life. God, is this what you want me to do? Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." Jesus gave us the best example of a servant when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, "Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not mine will. Oh, but thine be done, but yours be done." See, we read in James, when James was writing his letter there and he told the people, he said, "You pray and you ask and you receive not. Why? Because you're asking amiss, for you would wish to consume these things upon your own worldly and fleshly lust, your desires." That word amiss means in a faulty manner. That faulty manner is the fact that we're not seeking God's will, we're seeking self, and we're seeking what self wants. Folks, I'm telling you this morning, let's do away with self. Let's do away with our wants. You know, we got revival coming up here this Friday, if God allows time to stand. You know, let's do away with what it is that I want done. Let's do away what my desire is. And let's start asking God, what is your will? What is your desire that you would have me to do? He should not only be the head of the church, but he needs to be the head. He needs to be the one to have rule over my life. Not just Lord of the church, but Lord of my life. Hebrews tells us in chapter 12, oh, that we get rid of the sin that so easily besets us, so easily hinders us. I don't know what it is that might hinder you, Christian friend. I don't know what it is that might hinder you, whether it be your job, whether it be your family, whether it be the materialistic things of the world. I don't know what it is that might hinder you, but I know what hinders Micah Barber in his walk. And let me tell you this, folks, if it hinders us, and we know it hinders us, instead of us going back to the same thing that caused us to get off track in the first place, let's get rid of it. I mean that. To get rid of the sin that so easily besets us. And yet run the race with patience. While you're running, he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. While you're running, while you're going, while you're trying to seek after, while you're trying to go out and win souls for Christ, you need to be looking to Jesus. While you're working, you need to be looking to Jesus. And even when we lay our heads at bed at night, oh, we need to be looking towards Jesus. There's not a thing in my life that I'd rather want except to know that God has been pleased with my efforts. There's nothing more that I desire and long for than to know that God has been pleased with my efforts. And when God calls, we need to answer. You might say, and I know I got off track of that a little bit, but you know, after we get baptized and we set our light upon a candlestick so that all men can see, God then calls us to fight. He calls us to fight. What you mean by that, preacher? Yeah, I understand when Paul was writing in Ephesus to the church at Ephesus about the spiritual warfare that's going on. He said, we don't fight against flesh and blood, but we fight against the principalities, the powers, and the rulers of darkness. And folks, I can guarantee you one thing. If God was able to reveal to us even a tenth of the spiritual battle that is going on right now, we would all crumble and fall on our knees. Just in all honesty. Oh, but you know, God calls us in Jude. Jude wrote, he said, to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Paul, so many times he said to fight, even to Timothy, he said, don't give way to wise fables. Don't give way to these slothfulness and all these filthy business of the world, but yet give yourself to the doctrine and the word of God. We need to contend for what God has given us. We need to contend for the gospel. There's so many people out there, they've come up in their own mind so many different ways for them to tell people about salvation. Well, you can shake my hand, you can be baptized, you can repeat a prayer, you can do this, you can do that. Folks, let me tell you, it saddens my heart that there's a lot of that false gospel going on out there, and there's not enough of the true gospel being preached and talked about. We need to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. To the generations that came before me, the generations that came before you, and the generations that came before them, the doctrine of the gospel of Jesus Christ, how he is the only one to seek for and after for the salvation of the soul of mankind. We need to fight for it. We need to contend for it. You see, I'll say this and I'll be done. I know this was a mess, but I'll say this and I'll be done. But you know, Paul, whenever he was writing to the church at Ephesus in the 5th chapter, I believe, he sort of was doing some comparisons there with the church and Jesus and with marriage. He told them, the fifth chapter of Ephesians, he said, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, the church in be subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved his church, that he gave himself for it. You see, me and my wife, back May 30th in 2020, when we were there at the altar of Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist in Nashville, Tennessee, we made vows to one another. We made vows before the people that was there, and I believe we made vows to God. And you know, in that vow, it was that me as the man, I shouldn't long after something else and desire anybody else except my wife. She needs to be my desire. You know what? That's the same way with the church, folks. We don't need to love anybody else. We don't need to try to submit ourselves to anybody else. Because if God saved us, we need to love God with the fullness of our hearts. She made a vow to me that wherever I would go, she would follow right in behind me. It sort of broke my heart a little bit. I'm not saying it broke my heart to move up here, but it sort of blessed my heart. When we moved up here and got in our U-Haul, I asked her, I said, "Honey, are you ready for this move?" And she said, "Well, I'm just trusting you're following the Lord." You know, we need to be submissive to the Lord. I believe there is a reason why Paul gave that picture with the marriage between a husband and a wife and church and the church in Jesus Christ. David said in Psalms 116, "I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication." Why should I long for anybody else? Why should I desire anybody else? Why should I desire another doctrine? Why should I desire to be anywhere else? Because nobody else in this life, the world out there, the materials that it has, they're not the ones who swept the trouble away from me. God did that. They're not the ones who let me know that I've got a better home after this life. God did that. And they're not the ones who showed me what love was, but God did. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us, that he gave his only begotten Son for us. Why should I love anything else? I don't know why I had to say all that, but I'm done though. I know that was a mess, but you know, I just pray that something might have been said or done to not only lift up anybody else, not only lift up the church, but lift up Jesus. I don't know. I don't feel like asking Sister Rachel to sing a song unless she wants to. But does anybody have anything upon their hearts this morning? That's right. That's right.
Instead of getting worked out, Sister Mary Lou did, it'd be better to die casting off whatever religion we had if it wasn't real.
That's right.
But if it is real, you crucify to the Son of God afresh. And we just need to realize to get a life, you get saved. Put it on the candlestick. You got baptized.
That's right.
If you can't get that worked out, check with the pastor, check with other people that's read the scriptures. We want you to have a personal faith. You get treasure. The scripture said there's none born woman greater than John, except he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is great. And I've learned to treasure that a lot in my studies of the scripture. I don't know why my body's went haywire on me, and I can't trust if I'm going to really make it. Or make it back after the car out there.
That's right.
But I do know that if I die and you come view me at the funeral, you can just say that boy's got hope of being risen and resurrected.
Amen.
With a glorified body, because his testimony was, Mama and Daddy didn't save me. Jesus did.
Amen.
In my bedroom that night.
Yes.
I needed him, and he knew it. He died for me. And he gave me peace. And you need peace with God tonight. Today is your opportunity to get your need fulfilled and get a light in you.
That's right.
Thief on the cross didn't get in and get baptized, but he had hope of going where Jesus was. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. And that's what his hope was. But anybody else in our time afterwards, we need to follow Jesus in baptism, because that's his commandment. That's his understanding, that we would know I got my life and I'm going to put it on the candlestick wherever one of the Lord's churches. You're here and you've never been baptized, you're lacking.
That's right.
Because that's an obedient act that you need to give God.
Yes.
If you're here and you want to be saved, don't join the church until you've repented.
Amen.
And got your soul right with God.
Yes.
Boy, you said a lot of good ingredients in your message. Just go home, study it, pray about it, get in your closet with God.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Certainly thankful for this. Anybody else have anything upon their hearts this morning? Anything at all they just feel like needs to be said or done? Amen.
His presence and his getting to sit and feel peaceful. I remember like this little out of control, stressed out. This is only. I know God's the only place that I can find that peace that I need. Take a breath. So, just want to give God all the thanks for everything he does for us and sets up churches where we can come together and worship together and feel that peace.
Amen. Amen. Certainly thankful for this. Anybody else have anything upon their hearts this morning? Anything at all they just feel like needs to be said or done?